Thank you so much for the special music. Good morning, church. When we all get to heaven, what a great day of rejoicing that truly will be. And I know as we go through our daily struggles and the reminder that we live in an imperfect, sinful world that makes us want to yearn for heaven all that much more. And I think God often uses situations like we are in to remind us that really this world is not our home. And we have something much better to look forward to. Before we begin today, our message is entitled Conform or to be Transformed. Before we continue, let's have a word of prayer. Father God, as we go into your word is intimately connected with how the Holy Spirit works in our lives, Lord, in our hearts. And unless we have your Holy Spirit abiding with us today, whatever we hear, whatever we read are just words. But your Holy Spirit can take what we hear and what we read and make it the bread of life where we are fed, our souls are fed, and our thirsting is quenched. So, Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit would do a mighty work here this morning. I ask for myself as well, Lord, that you will grant me the words to speak and that it will not be my own words, that it will not be my own message. In fact, I would say that it will not be my message, a person's message, a human being's message, a message from you, Lord. Bless us as we go forward. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I've been thinking, my messages have been kind of very serious last 2 months. I've been here about 2 months, and I know my messages have been pretty serious in nature. And normally I like to include things that children can also understand and enjoy. And so this morning I kind of wanted to start off with that and incorporate that into my message today. So let's see if we can get that on the board. Conformed or transformed is based on Romans 12:2. Now, if you can see that, what does that look like? Is it a dog or is it a tiger? It's kind of a tiger, right? But it's a dog that someone took the time to, I wouldn't say paint, but they dyed the hair to make it look like a tiger. I think this was actually at a zoo somewhere in the world. What about this one? There's a dog that they put on a mane and made it look like a lion. A dog dressed as a lion. Go figure. How about that one? That is also a dog, right? I think this one's in China. They actually dyed the white dog with black, and so it would look like a panda. And we all love pandas, right? And so there's a panda that's there's a dog that looks like a panda. Here's another one. There's a little cat in the middle that's dressed like a husky dog. And it says on the bottom, day 12, and they still think I'm a husky. That one is also a dog, but somehow they made that dog look like a horse, which is pretty interesting, right? And the dog has skinny legs and even a little saddle, but technically it is still a dog. There's one that's a cat, and you might know that character. It's a Pokemon character, a Pikachu, I believe, right? And so it's kind of sad they made the cat yellow, so I don't know if that's a great idea, but someone tried it. Finally, we had this dog that's dressed like a pope. But the reality is this. Even if you can make a dog look like a lion on the outside, it will always be a dog. Because no matter what we dress it up as, we may color the hair, we may put on clothes that make it look like something else, but a dog by its nature will always be a dog. A cat by its nature will always be a cat. If we dress up a dog like a panda, I don't know what kind of sounds pandas make, but the dog will not start making sounds like a panda. The dog will bark like a dog and think like a dog. That's the way it is, because at the end of the day, no matter what it looks like on the outside, a dog would still be a dog. A Christian is not one who looks the part of a Christian, or a Christian is not one that acts the part of the Christian as well, but a Christian is one who we are in the inside. What we are in the inside, that makes us a follower of Christ. It is our faith and belief in Jesus that makes us follower of Christ. Not what we dress like, not what we act like, but it's our faith and it's what we believe in Jesus that makes us followers. But if you think about it, where does faith and where does belief occur in the human body? In the sanctuary of your mind. Proverbs 23:7 says this, "For as he thinks," some versions say, "as a man thinks, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat, drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." And I know we often use this verse to say that, like, you know, like, if you think a certain way, that's what you will become. But there's actually more to this verse than that interpretation. When Solomon tells us this proverb, it is in the context of a wealthy man who's holding a dinner party. And this man plays the part of a good host. He provides food, he provides entertainment, and he's friendly. But if you read between the lines, he has another agenda. He tells them, "Eat and drink," while he was thinking of ways to defraud and to manipulate his guests and to take advantage of them. That's the picture that the whole chapter paints. On the outside, he was their friend, but his heart was not with them. That's what Solomon says. "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." So it is what is in the man's heart that reveals his character. There's a story of David that you all are familiar with. And in this story, the story of David, after God rejects Saul as king, God sends Prophet Samuel to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king of Israel. And when Samuel enters the house of Jesse, Samuel sees Eliab, the oldest son, and Eliab was tall, he was handsome, he was strong, everything that I'm not. I'm short, I'm not handsome, and I'm not strong, right? But Eliab was tall, strong, and handsome. He looked the part of a king. And when Samuel sees Eliab, the Bible says he thought to himself, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." Samuel assumed that Eliab was chosen to be the next king because he looked the part of a king. But what did God say? What did God tell Samuel? God said, "Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees as not man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at his heart." Instead, God chose another person. God chose David. The Bible tells us that God chose David because David was a man after God's own heart. What did God mean when he said David was a man after my own heart? If we go back to Proverbs 23:7, the Bible says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he," right? And so in the Bible, it seems to connect the thoughts of a person to the heart. So in the Bible, the heart usually represents a man's thoughts, a person's thoughts. The heart represents a person's mind. Jesus uses it in a very similar way. In Matthew 9:4, it says this, "But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts?'" Jesus connects the thoughts of a person and illustrates it by using the hearts. The heart represents a person's thoughts and his mind. And in David's case, David was not only a man after God's own heart because his thoughts were for God, but David was also a man after God's own heart because his character reflected God's own character. In fact, we know that our thoughts are inseparably connected to our character. See if you can follow. Let's see this line of thought. When you have a thought that is embraced leads to action. Now, what happens if you continue to repeat those actions? Those actions repeated leads to habits. And the habits we develop forms our character. The habits that we develop builds our character. And our character reveals whether we are men and women after God's own heart. But it all starts with a simple thought. It starts with the temple of the mind. So is it any wonder that the wisest person that ever lived, Solomon says in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Solomon says that we are to guard our hearts because that's where it begins, with our thoughts. It begins in the mind. And so we are to be so very careful of what we put in the sanctuary of our minds. We must be careful of what we see, what we hear. Because whatever influences our very thoughts ultimately molds our character. But it all starts with a thought. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5, says this. And I just really want to focus on the last part. "For though we walk in the flesh and do not war according to the flesh," and I'm going to skip to verse 5, "casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." We are to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience to Christ, as if to say that we are battling against the powers of darkness to regain the control of our thoughts. We are to bring under control our very thoughts. Our minds are to be sanctified in Jesus. We often think that when we are follower of Christ, we reform our actions, our habits. But it begins with our thoughts. But I think you recognize how difficult that is, and how I would dare say how near impossible it is to control our thoughts. Have you ever found yourself thinking about one thing, and without even recognizing it, your thought leads to another thought, and your mind has wandered to a place that you never thought it would be? Even in prayer, if I pray casually, my mind wanders. And I have often found myself praying at my bedside. If I don't focus, I end up praying for the food when there's no food in front of me, right? Which tells us that my mind begins to wander. When I drive, I consider that in many ways my little sanctuary, in the sense that it's quiet for the most part. I'm alone in my thoughts, and that's where I often find myself contemplating many things, reflecting. But even then, I often find myself, my mind wandering to a place where I never intended. And the reality is, not all of that is bad, in the sense that sometimes God leads us to think, you know, our thoughts lead us to someplace good. But quite often, our mind wanders to a place where we should not be. I find myself often my mind wanders to a thought that distracts me away from Jesus. And my mind often is led astray to even unsanctified thoughts, because we are all sinners by nature. But the Bible says that we are to bring every thought into captivity. We are to fight for, we have to battle for, to bring to captive our thoughts to the obedience of Christ. And I know many of you are thinking, what are you asking? Well, I'm not asking anything. I'm just sharing what the Bible says. But you recognize how difficult it is to bring under control our very thoughts. And as much as a leopard has the ability to change his own spots, we have the same ability to change our own thoughts, which is, it's not possible without Christ. So how do we bring into captivity our thoughts? Romans 12:2 says this: "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." See, it's interesting here. The Apostle Paul makes a contrast, and he uses two different verbs to describe a change. One, a change by the world, but another change by God. Paul could have easily used the same verb. Paul could have said, "Be not transformed by this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." He could have said that, but he doesn't. He uses two different verbs. He says, "Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by God." And the reason is this: the way God works is very different from how the devil works. The principles are different. And let's see how that works, what the Bible says. First, the word conform in the Greek means to fashion, to conform to the same pattern. And let me give you this example to make it clear. Let me illustrate this. There's this Chinese farmer, and I don't even know how to say his name. His first name is Hao. And he found a very interesting way to grow pears. Maybe you can do it with other fruit as well. He has perfected the process of growing Buddha-shaped pears. This is real, by the way. And he sells it for about $7 a piece. How does he do it? How does he create these tiny praying Buddhas? He does it by getting these plastic molds. And when the pear is young, he'll wrap the plastic mold around it. And as the fruit grows, it grows into the mold. And as the fruit grows, they have no choice but to take this shape of the Buddha. The mold forces the pears to conform to the shape of the mold. The pear is not allowed to grow in its natural shape. It's pressed, it's forced, it's manipulated, very much how children play with Play-Doh. Into a mold, right? They push and press until it takes the shape of the mold. And here is this farmer is doing the same thing. He allows the pear to be conformed to the mold. And this is the way the devil works, isn't it? Do you see the picture? When the devil, when Satan wants to conform us, he presses, he forces, and manipulates. He forces you into a form that you may not want or want to be. So Paul says, do not be conformed to this world. The ways of the world do not allow us to develop our minds and our characters the way God had originally intended. We are pressed, we are shaped into individuals we never meant to be. But in contrast, Romans 12:2, the second part says this: be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This Greek word, to be transformed, is metamorphoo. Now, does that sound like any English word that we are familiar with? In fact, we get our English word from this Greek word, metamorphoo. Anyone taking biology? Metamorphosis? The word metamorphosis comes from metamorphoo. Now, when you think about the English word metamorphosis, what are some examples that you think of? Butterfly comes to mind. Starts as some eggs. Those eggs develop into a caterpillar. That caterpillar develops into a cocoon. And then ultimately, the metamorphosis process completes from an egg to a butterfly. This metamorphosis, the process is of complete change to the point where the final product is unrecognizable. Growing up, I found this out early on, that these jelly-like eggs on the left soon develop into a tadpole, and that tadpole ultimately turns into a frog. Metamorphosis, a complete change. So the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Metamorphosis, and we are to experience this spiritual metamorphosis. And like metamorphosis, the change that we experience is a process. It's not something that happens at a moment, but it's a process, a day-by-day process of a lifetime. It begins with a transformation of our thoughts and continues to the transformation of our actions, to the metamorphosis of our habits, to the metamorphosis of our character. When we accept Jesus into our lives, it's not merely to improve our old self, but God wants us to give us a complete change, a complete metamorphosis, a complete transformation in our lives. I think I'm missing some slides. Okay, it's okay. The Apostle Paul knew this better than probably most, right? He was once Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of Christians, the champion Christian hunter. People feared him. But when he met Jesus on Damascus Road, he was transformed. His life was completely new. A metamorphosis took place. He was no longer Saul, but he became Paul. Paul the Apostle Jesus. Paul the Pioneer Jesus. Paul the Great Evangelist. A complete life-changing event took place when he met Jesus. He was transformed. And this is the same truth as us. It is only through Jesus that we are transformed. It's only through Jesus our thoughts are transformed, our life is transformed. It's interesting when you look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. The same word, metamorphoo, is here. See if you can locate it. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, John, his brother, and led them on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Can you locate it? The verb metamorphosis here, metamorphoo, it's under transfigured. When Jesus was in the presence of God, there was a transformation that took place. The Bible says that his face shone like the sun, and his clothing was as light. He was transfigured. There was a metamorphosis that took place. Why? Because Jesus was in the presence of God. A transformation took place as he was present with the Father in heaven. Something similar took place with Moses, right? The Bible says that when Moses was in the temple and he had abided with Christ, was God, what happened to his face? It shined very brightly to the point where the Israelites, they did not want to look at Moses when he had spent time with Jesus, God. And the Bible says that they wanted him to wear a veil, a curtain, in front of his face so they wouldn't see the brightness of his face. And likewise, as we spend time in the presence of God, there is a spiritual transformation, not necessarily a physical one like Moses, but there is a spiritual transformation that takes place. Our thoughts are transformed. Our actions, our habits, and our character is transformed. Many years ago, and in Maryland, after I finished my pastoral ministry there as a youth pastor, I was burnt out. The fact of the matter is that before I even got to my ministry assignment, I was a little burnt out because in seminary, I had like three jobs, and I had been traveling to Chicago to do youth ministry there. And by the time I started, I was already a little burnt out. But getting to Maryland, it just compounded the issue. I was burnt out. And a large part of that was that I was lacking in my devotional time with Jesus. And I am embarrassed to admit it, but even as a pastor, I wasn't praying very much. And I wasn't spending that much time with Jesus. I just wanted to get through my day. And I was becoming an ugly Christian. But so after my ministry assignment, I had a few classes to finish at the seminary, so I went back for a year, back to Andrews University. And that was a godsend because I really needed the break. And it was a time where I was able to refocus my life with Jesus. I started getting up early in the morning. It was like 5, 6 in the morning, and then I would do some of my studies. I would pray. I would read the Bible, not just to prepare for a sermon or a Bible study, because it was my daily food, my daily spiritual food. And as I began to reconnect with God on a personal level, one day I was walking down the hallway of the seminary building. I saw a friend of mine, and he saw me, and he stopped and he said, "Steve, you're glowing." And I thought to myself, it must be because I've been spending time with Jesus every day. But later I realized that wasn't it at all. That, my sister had mailed me some lotion. And that day I had put it on, and it was the light reflecting off my face, the lotion that he saw. And he said I was glowing. I was so happy that I was glowing because I thought it was because I had spent time with Jesus. But maybe I wasn't glowing physically, but I was being changed by spending time with Jesus. My morning devotions made an impact in my life, and my thoughts began to change. My heart began to be transformed again. I was changing in Jesus. The reality is, we are only changed. We can only be changed from our character to God's character by spending time with God, by spending time with God in prayer, in Bible study, in reading scriptures, and we are only by spending time with God in nature, and we are only transformed, this spiritual metamorphosis, as we devote a portion of our day to Jesus. A transformation and metamorphosis of our thoughts and our character can only happen only if we devote the most precious time with the Lord. We often leave the leftover time for God, but we have to devote the most precious time for Jesus. We need to make it a priority of our day. I want to share with you just two more verses. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. There's that word again, metamorpho, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. It is in the presence of God whereby divinity transforms our humanity. It is through the Holy Spirit that transforms us at the level of our thoughts and feelings, not just actions. And it is only Jesus that can change our sinful character to reflect his holy character. Sometimes God does a miracle for us, and much of the change that we seek may happen overnight. I've seen people that have experienced that. But for the most part, the transformation, the metamorphosis that we see is not only a daily process. Yes, God changes day by day, but it's also a work of a lifetime, because sanctification is a work of a lifetime. And each day, either we're being conformed by the world or being transformed by Jesus. So today I want to leave you with a couple questions. How are you spending your time? What are the priorities of your life? What are your thoughts? What is your character like? Our final scripture, and I want to leave you with this. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things. May it be our prayer today that we be not conformed to this world, but we be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And may it be that we choose to make Jesus the priority of our everyday. May the Lord bless you.